Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. Today's podcast is sponsored by Pavilion Payments, which empowers gaming institutions to create an enhanced patron experience with a complete suite of integrated payment solutions that enable safe, secure, and trusted cash access at the cage, on the casino floor, or online. Learn more at pavilionpayments.com. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and my guest today is John Koster, the Eastern Region President for Caesars Entertainment. Koster has been the leader of Caesars Eastern Region, which includes the three Atlantic City casinos, Caesars, Harrah's, and the Tropicana, Harrah's Philadelphia, Racino, and the Horseshoe Casino in Baltimore. He's been responsible for investing $400 million into the Atlantic City casinos, as promised by Eldorado Resorts when it brought Caesars almost 5 years ago. The results are three dynamic and much improved casino resorts, as well as important managerial moves as well. Koster is most proud of Caesars, which has added Gordon Ramsay's Hell's Kitchen, a Nobu restaurant, along with a Nobu hotel soon to be completed. The most dramatic addition is a new theater that is hosting the Hook variety show, along with a Super Frico Italian restaurant, both operated by Spiegelworld of Las Vegas. He spoke with me from his Atlantic City offices in August. Without you, if you should ever leave. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. My guest today is John Koster, the regional president for the Eastern properties for Caesars Entertainment. John, it's good to see you again. Sorry we couldn't do this in person, but I didn't want to let this go because we've visited every year now for the last couple of years, and I wanted to make sure we stay in touch.
Roger, great to see you again. Great to talk to you again. Yeah, I think this is probably our third chat.
Yeah.
I think it was immediately in 21 when I got here in June, and we've been following up ever since.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Really good, appreciate it.
I've been doing that with Dave Rebuck from the DGE every year, and every year I say, we'll see you next. I guess we won't see you next year. You're going to retire, and he's always there. So it's probably good news that we can do that.
Just saw him the other, a few months, I think, boy, time flies.
Yeah.
It must be a few months ago now, and he was really impressed with all the things that have been happening at our property.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about that. How has the summer been for you, first of all? I mean, with all everything finally opened, hopefully things are looking up.
Yeah, I mean, the summer in Atlantic City is always our high season, and certainly we have been enjoying very high occupancies across the board, in particular Caesars and Tropicana on the boardwalk. Harrah's basically in the Marina District. Some of it depends on group activity and things of that nature, but they've been very busy as well. So yeah, high season, it's wonderful to have high season, and now very close to the completion of our master plan, Roger.
Sure, sure. And we talked about that 2 years ago, and finally you're just about there. I mean, since last summer you've opened Hell's Kitchen, the Nobu restaurant. I know the hotel is still progressing. You got Spiegelworld's The Hook, which I've heard some great things about, and of course the renovated pool area, which I saw last year. So what am I missing? I know there's something else I'm missing there.
No, well, of course, in addition, we opened up Hell's Kitchen in September. And by the way, that's now hitting in the mid 500s of covers on like Fridays and Saturdays.
Wow.
It's very, very popular, not only with our own guests, but also we see a lot of people we've never seen before from the local community, summer guests now, and then, of course, from our competitors. So it's really been an immediate hit, followed a month later by Nobu, which is now hitting over 450 covers on days on like Saturdays and Fridays. So they're both really proving to be extremely popular. Nobu's got that fantastic view of the boardwalk and the ocean, in addition to the Chef Nobu's tremendous, the ambiance, the food quality, the service there is fantastic. So those two have been immediate hits and are just getting even more popular as the summer crowd finds out about them. As you pointed out, we just opened up The Hook and Super Frico. Super Frico being an interesting twist on Italian-American food, kind of Ross Mullins, psychedelic approach to a very eclectic experience, let's say. The ambiance is great. The service is fantastic. And I'm telling you, the food, they hit the ground running, right from the opening night, which was on June 30th. And I attended. And we also saw the first show on June 30th. And I got to tell you, it's... I don't know if you've seen Absinthe, I'm sure.
Sure, yes.
Right. Well, it's definitely of a Las Vegas caliber. I was amazed at how professional they were right from the beginning. And of course, you know, it's got an interesting twist, right? It's definitely an adult show. It's got the nautical theme. It's very humorous. It's, you know, from magicians to incredible acts of strength. And then of course you've got, you know, the very interesting MC and the Admiral, et cetera. So it's a great show and everybody seems to really enjoy it. Two shows per night, 5 days a week.
Okay. So that's kind of a review, and you know, Atlantic City doesn't have a great history with reviews, basically because, you know, of the 25 million people, and a lot of people say that's 5 million people coming five times a year or so. And that's why the reviews don't work. People go see it once and they don't need to see it again. But what's different with The Hook? Why will they go back to see that multiple times?
I had heard that, and so had Ross Mollison, you know, who was in charge of Spiegel World.
Sure.
You know, again, we've got such a large population, you know, Roger, that's within a tank of gas of us. And so if people want to go to New York City and see a, you know, New York City caliber show like that, they can, but it's a lot easier to get to Atlantic City than to head up there. Ross can put some twists and turns on the show and modify it a bit. We have our summer guests that, you know, are not, you know, coming with that level of frequency. We have our charter guests, which our competitors really don't enjoy, coming in from around the United States. You know, we've got five big 183-seat planes coming in per week from all around the country, in addition to our probably about eight flights from our smaller jets that are more regional. So we have a lot of customers that are coming in that are, you know, new to us and haven't seen, you know, if you will, all that we now have in Atlantic City. So we've got a lot more diversification, I think, than let's say some other things that may have existed here in the past.
And I've been reading some things about the show that they're going to be changing things in the show on a regular basis. So even if you have seen it once, you go back, it's going to be different.
Ross can put a new twist on anything. He's the, you know, entertainer extraordinaire, and he's just amazing. He's a creative genius. He's really visionary. We're glad we have the relationship with him. And he's not done yet. He's going to continue to expand around the country. I think we've got one coming up in New Orleans in the near future.
So great. Yeah, I've been hearing that Absinthe is really the big, the biggest kept secret in Las Vegas. So hopefully that will be the same case there, but not kept secret. We want it to be out front and center there. So what are you doing to really promote these new items at your Caesars Palace or Caesars Atlantic City property?
Well, as Noel knows, and will certainly tell you, yours truly has been an advocate of an advertising relaunch of all that we have here. Caesars Entertainment in Atlantic City. As you know, in the past, you know, Legacy Caesars didn't put in the capital that we now have put in. We made the commitment, of course, to the DGE and the CCC that we would put in the $400 million. We're going to be ostensibly, or, you know, virtually done with the project by September 30th of this year, substantially completed. The one remaining thing to go, you know, Roger, at the end would be Nobu Hotel and Suites on the top, three floors of Centurion. But, you know, back to your question. So we have a big advertising campaign that we have just completed the filming of, just finished it off, and it has just launched in New York City DMA, Philadelphia DMA, and throughout parts of New Jersey and various feeder markets here in the East. So it's a commercial. We've got videos going. We've got influencers. We've got social media. We've got PR, you name it, we've got it. And again, you should be seeing those commercials hitting, in addition to some billboards hitting, you know, in the Northeast. I know you're in Vegas right now, so more of that is targeted out here, of course.
Great. We'll do our part in that equation there as well.
Thank you. So and that's not, and we're not done with it. You know, in terms of, I think we've got a total of five commercials. There's only one that's hitting at the moment, so you're going to see a lot of exposure on all that we've done in Atlantic City over the past couple of years, the things that, you know, we've talked about, over 2,100 rooms, you know, in suites, the beautiful new arrival experience you have at Caesars. Where do you see that, Roger? It's just a whole new entry you got there. It's just fantastic. So, you know, kind of a return to what Caesars was in the glory days when it was the luxury offering here. We're moving back in that direction.
Sure. Okay, great. So you've also revamped the Wild Wild West. Tell us what's changed and how it's being received.
Yeah, so where the Spiegel World, if you will, Hook, Super Freako, and the bars is located is in the former Cates, you know, casino.
Right.
And actually, the doorway, the entrance from the boardwalk into the Hook is the former 1929 Warner Theater entrance.
Sure.
So we've kind of recaptured that beautiful signage on the boardwalk, a kind of a throwback to that. So a slight reduction in the overall Wild Wild West caused us to relocate slots, and we didn't actually have to move the tables around, but we relocated a number of slots and ETG offerings in the Wild Wild West. So it's, whereas it's a slightly smaller space now, it's more gaming centric. It's got the saloon, it's got AC Snack, it's got, you know, Guy Fieri's barbecue, and it's, you know, of course it's got that giant sports book
right,
anchoring the one end on the western side of the casino.
Right. Well, with the sports book and football season coming up, are you anticipating that that's going to perform very well?
Yeah, it always does. It's a hit. I mean, it's one of the biggest books on the,
It is the biggest, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's really very, very popular. And you know what's happened here? It's become more popular now that we have really got into the sports side of the equation and the iGaming side of the equation. You know, we just launched the Caesars Palace app, you know, which is, you know, fast and you know, it's much easier to use than the previous app. We're just waiting for final approval on the iGaming side of it here in New Jersey, but that should be happening very soon. And you know what we're seeing, Roger, is what we're doing is we are identifying iGaming and sports customers that have not been, if you will, really brick and mortar, but when we're introducing them with offers to brick and mortar, especially the higher level customers, we are seeing that it's gaining a lot of traction in cross play, migrating sports and iGaming customers into brick and mortar. And we're actually seeing some of our brick and mortar customers starting to enjoy iGaming and sports apps more so at home. So we're in a kind of a unique position. We own our entire system. You know, we don't,
right,
other competitors, you know, are kind of either they don't own the system or they don't have the hotels and casinos that we have,
right,
you know, around the country. So stay tuned on how that continues to grow. And again, it's helping brick and mortar with the iGaming and sports application side of the equation, especially with that new,
right,
Caesars Palace app.
Well, that's great. I actually just wrote my editor's letter in our most recent edition on that fact that brick and mortar casinos aren't doing enough to attract iGaming players. And it sounds like you've really got a handle on that.
You know, I don't want to steal the thunder of our iGaming folks, but just having attended a recent, you know, board meeting back in Tahoe, or board meeting and then a kind of a catch up there. Boy, oh boy, Eric Heshen, Matt Sunderland, those guys, and Dan Riel, they're doing a tremendous job on the iGaming and sports side of the equation. I've heard, you know, that sometimes the relationship, you know, let's say with some of our competitors between brick and mortar and iGaming and sports is not as, you know, what's the word for it? It's not as fluid and tight and seamless,
right,
as you would like. That is not the case with Caesars.
Mm-hmm.
We are joined at the hip. Matter of fact, Dan Riel used to be a regional president,
sure,
like truly, and he really understands the brick and mortar side. And he's now, and he's always been interested in sports. He's kind of a conduit, you know, between the sports side of it, iGaming side of it, and the brick and mortar side. And Matt Sunderland, based in London, but coming over quite frequently to the U.S., especially, you know, New Jersey City, where we've got a lot of his team up there. He was, you know, with MGM, BetMGM, and he did a lot of great things there. So, you know, we've got some people that really know what they're doing in the business. And Eric Heshen, the leader,
sure,
of IRI Gaming Area, has been with Caesars for many years and, you know, was our CFO. So
right,
it is a very solid leadership team.
Yeah, well, it sounds like, you know, you've got a lot of brick and mortar people on that side, so they understand both sides of the equation.
Yes, sir.
Great. So let's talk about some of the other properties. You know, Tropicana has also gone through some great renovations and new things. Explain what's going on over there.
Tropicana also has a new senior vice president and general manager, and his name is Joe Ginta. Joe has got some very high caliber executive chef and culinary experience with some well-known hotel brands. Then he migrated to Harrah's and has worked his way up to vice president of operations, handling all non-gaming areas, and was getting exposed to gaming. And so in September, you know, when we had an opportunity to move Joe, we did. We promoted Joe and moved him to senior vice president and general manager Tropicana. And he's been there since September. He's very service orientated, very fast on the uptake, has been leading their, you know, their whole casino floor has been redesigned, Roger. It's
right,
completely redesigned. Now it's almost done, a little bit more to do, which we'll do after Labor Day, but it's basically done. It looks fantastic. high-speed floor, new carpet. It's got, you know, close to 400 new slots and conversions. It has a beautiful ETG area. We're thinking about moving poker around a little bit. So that particular property is really caught on. Hash House, you haven't seen it.
Yep.
Hash House
yep.
opened up, you know, back in the fall, and it is really doing great now. That has been an instant hit right on the boardwalk. We've got Purple Zebra going now, which is, you know, got all the drink offerings right there on the boardwalk and next to Hash House. And then you remember the Il Verde restaurant,
sure, right.
which was kind of a small restaurant, very good restaurant, but tucked kind of into a corner with, you know, not a lot, you know, in terms of exposure. Well, now it's right next to our Ostu restaurant in the old Olan space. And it is a 350-seat restaurant with a beautiful view of the boardwalk and the ocean. And it's got just tremendous cuisine. Our corporate executive chef, Ivano, who Don Carano found back in, I think, the 70s in Italy, brought him to the El Dorado, where they created La Strada. Well, we've got the second La Strada, this one La Strada at the Shore, and that one is located over at Harrah's. Meanwhile, he also helped us with the entire menu at Il Verde as we moved that great restaurant, keeping some of the most popular items on the menu, but Ivano brought in some new items as well that we do very, very nicely at El Dorado and Reno. So really fortunate to have that kind of a background there. And again, at Tropicana, we also have, you know, a number of you know, Gin Ricky. We've got Wild Honey. Oh, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention, you know, the Palms and, of course, Carmine's. Carmine's has been a real anchor at Tropicana in the quarter. You know, that is one of the most profitable outlets that, you know, I think Jeff has. In his, you know, I mean, look, it's a recreation of everything that worked great in New York City. And here it is in Atlantic City at Tropicana. And I have to give him a plug. I've met him recently. And I mean, my God, if you want to talk about portion size, Carmine's has got it. The food quality is up in there. So
that's for sure.
Had to mention that. The quarter is a unique thing at Tropicana. I mean, nobody else has that here in Atlantic City. And it's so popular, you know, from a retail side of the equation, certainly with our higher end customers and our loyal repeat customers. So it's a nice mixture of our own products added right. to the quarter, and it's really a powerful combination.
Great. And of course, Harrah's is the place to be this summer with their pools, the inside and the outside pool. And you know, you've done a bunch of things there. You mentioned La Strada. What else is going on at Harrah's?
Yeah, and again, La Strada just opened up and it's really kicked in. I mean, we had, you know, Majorano's in there before he decided to move to, you know, other pastures. So our thinking was, you know, great, we'll bring in what we know works, which is La Strada now at the Shore. And that has been an immediate hit with our customers. And I think that's going to be, you know, I don't want to cast aspersions on anybody else, but, you know, I think that's going to be a very nice, you know, replacement for what we had, you know, there before. The pool is constantly, we're constantly changing the DJs. The pool after dark, as you know, has got its own brand. It has worked very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had Mike Tyson in there for an event for our VIPs. I think we've got Shaquille O'Neal coming in. So we have the DJs going, we have the special events going in there. We have group events going in there. So the pool at Harrah's is always been, you know, kind of iconic there, and will continue to do so.
Sure.
And again, we've got Bobby's Burgers, Bobby Flay. We've got Guy Fieri's. We've got the Chicken Guy there now. We've got our little quick serve Jade Asian restaurant, which works very well, kind of all in the same, you know, area there, mm-hmm. right by the pool after dark. And we're going to have an arcade soon. You know, we get a lot of, sometimes we have, you know, the kids coming through. They don't know what to do with themselves. So we're going to have a very nice arcade there nestled in between all that food and beverage offering.
Sure. And you've got great meeting space at Harrah's. Just a few years ago, you opened up a $100 million expansion. It's actually right past the pool, so people can visit those restaurants, you know, on their way or leaving the area. How is that performing, and are you happy with the way it's being utilized right now?
Yeah, our waterfront conference center, 100,000 square feet, second biggest, I think, on the East. It's just fantastic. So, after COVID, things were a little slow on the group side here. I think it kicked in quicker on the Vegas side of the equation. They have really rebounded in Vegas. Now we're seeing, though, we've got, you know, associations and some of the, you know, if you will, younger groups that have come in. But now we're starting to see a return of the corporate meetings. And that is key to mm-hmm. our business. Harrah's you know, in the marina, really, you know, with, you know, over 2,500 rooms, really does need to have that group base, and they're getting it. That added to our air charter program, Roger, which has been very successful. And it's amazing. It's interesting. Certain cities seem to, from around the country, seem to want to, some go more to Tropicana to experience something new. They're Caesars Rewards customers. Some are loyal to Harrah's and want to stay over at the marina.
Sure.
So, and of course, Caesars gets a very nice sprinkling from all the above. So those planes come in, 183-seat planes, and they, you know, they're all Caesars Rewards customers with, you know, if you will, a friend or colleague or a spouse or whatever. But, you know, it's a really powerful product that we have that we can bring in our customers from around the country, you know, five times a week on the big plane. So
sure.
Not to mention smaller jets. It's really a very nice advantage that we have.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got a really nice VIP program bringing people in on the planes here.
Yes, sir.
Great. So I know you also oversee Harrah's Chester. Are there other properties that are under your umbrella?
Yes, Harrah's Chester or Harrah's Philadelphia. We have a new GM up there as well since September. Her name is Zara Aslan, and Zara is a former finance leader at Tropicana, and we moved her up there in September when we moved our previous GM. Now he's running Caesars Danville in Virginia, which, by the way, is probably the most profitable tent in the world right now.
Yeah.
They're doing very well down there.
Yeah, I've heard some great things about that. So are you overseeing that as well?
No, I don't. That actually is overseen by the regional president that is based in Florida, because he is in charge of the Cherokee properties, which we have an ownership relationship with, not only in Cherokee, but also in Danville. So it made sense to keep that all with Barron. Barron runs the Southeast. And as you haven't been to Philadelphia in a while, we're making a nice change there on the gaming floor. You know, it's a very long floor, and we thought it would be better to move the sports book closer to the center of the casino where our center bar is. And you're going to see a brand new, you know, I think cozier Harrah's Philadelphia the next time you're in Philadelphia, reducing the floor a bit where we had, you know, kind of some dead space and really enlightening it with the sports book consolidated by the center bar there.
Okay, great. So
and also Horseshoe Baltimore also comes to me. We have opened up a Top Golf right next door to it.
Great.
A Paramount Theater, 4,000 seat multifunction theater is under construction now. You know, that whole Warner Street area, we're spending quite a few bucks to clean up that whole area between Horseshoe Baltimore and the Ravens Stadium. So much so that the Ravens Stadium is going to move their entrance pointed south towards us in the next couple of years.
Oh,
so that's really kind of activating that entire space. A lot of new slots going into Baltimore. They've just got, you know, a new ETG product lineup there. You know, they've got the Gordon Ramsay Steakhouse there, which does very, very well. It's a very nice property. And we continue to, if you will, activate and clean up that area so that it's going to be far more attractive in the near future.
Yeah, well, yeah, I love that area of Baltimore with the Ravens Stadium and Camden Yards right beyond that. It's just a great area, and to really spruce it up like that, probably the city's enjoying that too, I would imagine.
They're getting behind it, and it's interesting, the Orioles are even winning.
Yeah, so that's pretty amazing,
that's
for sure.
That helps. I mean, the Ravens are always good, but the Orioles have had challenges. Not this year, they're doing pretty good.
Right, yeah, no question. So let's talk about Caesars Rewards. You know, you've done some jiggling with the way you qualify for certain tiers. How are people responding to that?
Yeah, so, you know, in addition to the over $400 million that we're spending on capital, we're constantly improving service. You know, the other side of the, or the third leg of the stool, as you know, is marketing, you know, the icing on the cake. And, you know, we saw that we were in some areas needed to make some adjustments so that we could be, you know, more competitive in this very competitive AC market. I've worked, you know, in four other countries and nine states and five gaming jurisdictions. And, you know, this one is the most competitive that I've ever seen in my,
that's
47
for sure.
Years in this business. So, you know, marketing is part of the equation, Roger. And so we did a change to our base, you know, Compre investment program, the reward credits, and increased it to a competitive level. And it seems to have had a good effect, certainly on our top tiers. And, you know, it was a needed change. So our customers have appreciated that, and it's nice to see, you know, we've got the loyalty going with it. We've got, you know, we're reactivating customers. We're seeing customers we've never seen before. So it seems to have been, you know, a good move for us here in Atlantic City.
Yeah, no question about it. So I've heard people discussing the difference between rewards credits and tier credits. What's the difference between those two?
Think of reward credits as you're putting in coin in, you know, it's doing two things. The reward credit is your comp currency that you're generating for yourself based on, you know, $5 in on a slot machine or X amount on a table. You're going to get X amount of reward credits. The slot customer, you know, knows very well, you know, when they put in X amount, they're going to get right. Y amount. So that's your comp that you're building up, Roger, that you can use for just about anything. You can redeem comps for just about everything. And then again, we have over 50 casinos and hotels around the country, more so than anybody else. So you can earn here in Atlantic City. And then if you want to take a trip somewhere else to Vegas or whatever, New Orleans, Tahoe, you can then earn here and burn there. So, that's kind of your comp currency. Whereas tier also is related to play. It accelerates at a different pace, but it allows you to then move from the entry level of gold, which anybody can join in, you know, at the retail level, the first level of loyalty, if you will, the first tier level where you're now earning some additional benefits is platinum. We've stratified the next level up, diamond, into three levels, you know, and again, it's based on, mm-hmm. you know, how much, you know, you have, put into the program. And then the top level, 150,000 tier points, is our seven stars level. Those are our, you know, highest value customers that are most loyal. They have annual trips that they get to go on. They get to go on cruises. They get, you know, the seven stars lounge. You know, the diamond customer gets to go to the diamond lounge. It's based on play. So tier is the side of the loyalty where you can actually advance to a higher tier and get more benefits. And the RCs are generated also by CoinIn, and that's your comp currency.
Okay, great. So Caesars used to be one of the top two casinos in Atlantic City for many years, but when I just checked the numbers for the first half of this year, you know, there's four or five casinos above you when it comes to gross gaming revenues. Are you expecting that to change with all these new developments at Caesars?
Yeah, I mean, you've had, you know, three top competitors here that have done a very good job on their capital reinvestment. They really have, no question mm-hmm. about it. You know, we're seeing, you know, two are having 5-year anniversaries this year. One is having a 20-year anniversary, and they're putting a lot of investment, promotions and events and accelerated tier or reward credit type earnings into those anniversaries. And that's understandable. So again, I mean, we're inheriting a Caesars legacy that, you know, after the waterfront, you know, tower or conference center was created, they didn't put a lot of money, you know, into Atlantic City. The new company, the new Caesars, is. And it's not just the $400 million that we're putting in. You know, our company has got a lot of diligence on capital spend, the new company. And so you're going to see, you know, towers that still need to be renovated here in Atlantic City. For example, Tropicana's got a big one that needs renovation. You know, the company's going to continue to step up to the plate. Roger, we're doing a little bit of catch up. There's no doubt about it. I mean, that would be, you know, disingenuous to not say we're doing that. But I think we're doing a very good job on playing catch up. And, you know, when you're playing catch up, you know, it's going to take a little while. But I think between the capital spend, the service improvement, and again, our marketing changes, and again, we have the biggest and best customer loyalty program in the industry. There's no question about that.
Sure.
Nobody can offer the amount of locations with the amount of, you know, benefits that we've got associated, you know, with this program. So I think that within, you know, the next few years or so, you're going to continue to see us get back, especially, you know, the customers that have, let's say, left us for one reason or mm-hmm. another. We've got a lot of reasons now that they should want to come back. So it just takes time.
Okay.
And I think you can see some changes there. Plus attracting new customers, you know, as we build new casinos, Danville is going to help, you know, in generating a lot of customer movement there. And we do a lot of cross marketing. Philadelphia, Baltimore are big exporters of play into Atlantic City. I think you're going to see that from Danville. And we're doing, you know, again, we've got an opportunity to move customers up there via our charter program, our competition kit.
Okay. So one of the challenges that, that you'll be upcoming here will be the casinos in New York City. I think the two casinos that are there already with MGM and Genting, I think they'll it'll be pretty much a wash there. But if there's a third casino, now Caesars has proposed a casino in Times Square. Some people like that, some don't. Where are you on that, and are you involved in that discussion there?
I am really on the edge of that discussion. I'm not really involved in it. However, I stay close enough to know that if it was me and I had the third license to go and I was in New York and I can't, you know, handicap this, Roger, I have idea how New York politics really works. But what I would say is if I was granting the third license and if there were only three and let's say the other two were may go to the existing locations, by the way, it was up to me, I would say, give those two to those two and then add three more licenses. I do five, but not in charge of New York. So what? So that's just me speculating. But I would say that if I was looking at it from a visitor point of view, from a business customer point of view, from an entertainment, i.e. point of view, Times Square is in the heart of New York City. Right. You've got the theater district. You've got a lot of giant corporations, business people there. And of course, it's this tourist mecca of New York.
Sure.
So why you wouldn't put a license in that great location with what Caesars can offer in terms of the luxury that we can offer and all of the feeding that we can provide. You know, remember, we did a very good job on the brick on the iGaming sports side of the sports in particular side of the equation. We get a lot of customers we know now in New York, not to mention the 60 million customers we have in Caesars Rewards, of which nearly 10 million are active. You know, we can move a lot of customers in that direction. Plus, it's the center of the city. So if it's more to the center of the city, I would say that the impact in to Atlantic City would be less.
Yeah.
You know, I would say that, and again, it could provide New York City with a tremendous magnet. You know, this would really, I think, round off and react. Yeah, let's face it, some of that area has not been as reactivated as I think New York City would like.
Sure.
And Caesars has got a lot of good things that they can offer in terms of improving that whole area.
Yeah.
Not only from the tourism side of it, the business side of it, but you know, a general attraction. I mean, buying show tickets would be part of the program, from my understanding. And helping the entire theater district and, you know, really reactivating Times Square and that whole central part of New York City, I think it would be one of the must-sees for New York City. So again, I can't handicap these things. I have no idea what the final decision would be, but Caesars Times Square to me would be a slam dunk winner.
Yeah, no question about that. So one more question. Are you bullish on the future of Atlantic City, given the possible competition from New York and, you know, to be frank, the lack of support from the city and the state when it comes to infrastructure in the city?
You know, I am. I am bullish, especially with, you know, look at all the money our competitors have put in, a tremendous amount.
Right.
Look at what we just put in.
Yeah.
And again, all of us are not done with this yet. I had the opportunity to meet the governor a few months back with our CEO, Tom Rieg. We had a very nice chat and I had a chance to meet the governor again, Governor Murphy, recently when he was visiting, as he promised to do. He said he was going to visit Nobu and he did,
okay.
With his wife and with the governor of Utah and the governor of Colorado.
Wow.
And related family members. So, you know, had a chance to say hello to him, and he is a supporter of Atlantic City. As a matter of fact, he has allocated funds, I know, to help improve the boardwalk, the streets, the lighting, et cetera. So I would stay tuned on the commitment that we have from our governor in the state of New Jersey. Governor Murphy, I think, is a big supporter of Atlantic City. So stay tuned on that. I think you're gonna see some very nice improvements. And again, if Caesars Times Square was there, Roger, we can move customers back and forth. We can export back and forth. So, and I think you'd see more New Yorkers coming to Atlantic City if we had Caesars in Times Square.
Right. Great. Well, John, thanks very much. And like I say, we'll see you next summer, and good luck in the meantime.
Thank you, Roger. Always a pleasure. All the best to you, sir.
Okay.
The world could show nothing to me, so I could would live in.
hope you enjoyed today's GGB podcast, sponsored by Pavilion Payments. Learn more about the full suite of gaming solutions available at pavilionpayments.com. To learn more about the topics discussed today and all the important issues in gaming, check out Global Gaming Business Magazine. For a free virtual copy of the magazine, subscribe at ggbmagazine.com. To stay current with the weekly news of the gaming industry, subscribe to ggbnews.com. Use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. And don't miss a single episode of the GGB podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts today. And we'll see you next time on the GGB podcast.